Hello and welcome to our new Language and Linguistics Department's podcast series, where we will talk about all things linguistic. The content will include fascinating interviews with staff, students, and other members of the university community. We will explore different issues within languages and linguistics. It is a podcast made by students for students. Hope you enjoy. Without further ado, let's dive into the first episode, where the topic is accents. Accent is not just a way of pronouncing words differently. It carries a lot of information about a person. From my personal experience, accents are a big topic of conversation around students. It is common to talk about them, guess where a person comes from just by their accent, but just as easily, they can be another reason for discrimination. And now, joining our podcast in an interview are two researchers at our university, Dr. Amanda Cole and Dr. Ella Jeffries. Hello, thank you for joining us today.
Hiya, thanks for having us today.
Yes. Hi there. Thank you. I wanted to talk to you about mainly accentism, which is, well, if you could explain what is exactly meant by that, Amanda.
So accentism is when, basically based on someone's accent, they might be evaluated in a certain way, there may be sort of a bias or a prejudice towards people, and that's based purely on accent. So accent is the sort of sounds that we say. So we'd say at a sort of phonological, phonetic level. So what that means is basically the different pronunciations. So, you know, whether we say bottle, whether we say bottle. And then we can also talk about prejudice around maybe someone's dialect, which might also include sort of grammatical structures or word choices that they use. And then the term linguicism is used more generally, you know, just for the sort of evaluations or judgments, prejudice around any sort of form of speaking, you know, whether that be sort of an accent, a dialect, a language, whatever it may be, we could use this term linguicism for that.
Right, thank you very much. And Ella, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I could add that the reason, or I guess sort of part of the reason behind some aspects of accentism is because how we speak is often closely related to aspects of our background. So the reason that we might judge someone or form opinions of someone based on the way that they speak, and we should say that, I guess, linguicism or accentism doesn't necessarily have to be through speech, but that is probably the more common way in which it manifests. So it might be through other forms of language use. The way that we speak or the way that we use language reflects aspects of our background, be that our social class background, be that our regional background, be that aspects of our level of education and these kind of things. And therefore, based on those associations that people make between the way we speak and these aspects of our background, people then make these kind of judgmental judgments about us. And that, you know, that happens. We all do that to some extent. But it's the kind of the dangerous way in which it can manifest is that it can lead to discrimination based on that. So people treating people differently because of their accent.
I think that's a really great point actually that you've made, Ella, about how accentism, actually the term itself, could sort of lead people to think that actually people are just making these judgments about accents, or some it really inherent, or, you know, really sort of self-contained within that accent. You know, some people like one accent, other people might not like that accent. Oh, but it's all personal preference. But actually, that doesn't really map onto sort of linguistic evidence or research that's done. Actually, it's about something so much more than that. And there's this real sort of hierarchy in the way that different accents are evaluated. And, you know, that isn't a coincidence. It's actually very much reflective of the way that different groups are evaluated in society. And that's why, you know, obviously it's no coincidence that it tends to be low status groups within society who their way of speaking is often seen as wrong or incorrect or improper. And, you know, there's absolutely no linguistic evidence for that at all. You know, as linguists, we're constantly saying about how all ways of speaking are just as grammatical, you know, they're just as rich, they're just as expressive, as communicative. It's only sort of through social constructs that we've come to see some ways of speaking as different or better or more correct or proper than others.
Yeah, And I think it's really interesting to think of the fact that, so other sort of protected characteristics that we have now, so gender, race, religion, sexuality, you know, people kind of see these as protected characteristics, hopefully more now, and people are kind of aware of this. With accent, not so much. It seems to be that people find that it's okay to comment on someone's accent, to say something disparaging or negative about someone based on their accent. So there is an interesting question of why is that seen as okay when it's not okay to comment on someone's, you know, sort of gender identity, sexuality, race, or whatever else. And one aspect with it, which I've reflected on, that which kind of might be part of that, is because we see accent or the way we speak as something that is changeable. We have the ability to change the way we speak. We all do that all the time anyway. I'm probably speaking quite differently now than I would just sort of chatting to my friends or to my family, because we kind of change stylistically depending on who we're talking to and all that kind of thing. So people see that adaption, that accommodation, as we call it in linguistics, and they think, well, because of that, then, you know, that's something we can change and therefore something we should change due to this, as Amanda mentioned, this kind of idea of correctness and standardness that we've all kind of been socialised to accept, at least in, you know, in the British context and in many other contexts around the world as well.
Thank you. Connecting a bit to what Amanda has already said, that obviously the minority groups and their accents are more discriminated against. But if you could comment on why people discriminate others based on their accent a bit more.
I suppose part of that reason is, you know, why do people discriminate against other people at all? Because accent is a part of that. So I think what we're kind of trying to highlight is that it's not actually just about accent. It's not that people think, oh, you know, I just don't like this accent, it's not for me, it's not correct. Actually, it is something much more sort of insidious than that. It's something that really does boil down to certain social groups and the way that certain social groups are evaluated in society. And that's why we often find that, you know, these sort of judgments made about an accent are actually sort of reflective of the way the groups are evaluated. You know, so if one way of speaking is seen maybe as like lazy or improper, or, you know, people say, oh, they can't be bothered to say their T's for words like butter, which actually linguistically is not true at all, that it's just a drop T. But actually that is reflective of the way that group tends to be evaluated. And I think it comes down to a lot what Ella was saying as well, of people actually not seeing it as being something about, you know, more than accent, when, you know, it really is. And this idea that actually if people wanted to, they could sort of assimilate into the more standard way of speaking. They could sort of pick these ways up, or they could start doing that. And that is, you know, we can't emphasize again how sort of untrue that is. And even if some people can acquire a more sort of standard way of speaking, if they could do that, we also have to come back to the question of, you know, like, why should they? Why should we expect people to leave something about themselves kind of at the door in order to project a better sense of themselves through these socially constructed ideas around what's seen as correct English or not? You know, the way we speak is reflective of so much about ourselves. You know, we constantly talk about linguistic variation. And, you know, people speak differently to each other in so many different ways. So we have regional variation, social variation. So the way we speak is a marker of kind of who we are, of where we're from, where our family are from, you know, where we're brought up, the different places that we've lived, factors of our social, you know, our background, our socio-demographic factors, you know, class, age, race. And these are things that we, you know, we shouldn't have to sort of leave at the door. And if we're asking people to change their accent, then really that's what we're doing. We're asking them to sort of leave behind something that's a part of themselves and part of their heritage, part of their culture. And, you know, obviously that's not something that at all we should be wanting to do.
Yeah, great. And I think just to add on to that, that, yeah, there's this sort of certain association with speaking in a standard or a correct way. And we as sociolinguists kind of want to question that and pose the question, as Amanda said, that who has the right to say what's the right or wrong way to speak, or right for that matter? So it's kind of important to think about the fact that, well, again, we as sociolinguists kind of want to celebrate that variation that we find in language, and also just make it kind of known that language variation and change occurs. It always has done, it always will do, because ultimately, what do we use language for? We use it for sociable means, we use it for you know, for kind of to, you know, so we might change the way we speak depending on where we might travel to, where we might live, who we might be speaking to, and all of these factors. And these all form part of our identity, as Amanda said as well. So accent discrimination happens for a number of reasons, but a lot of it links to this idea of what this idea of correctness and how people might deviate from that.
Thank you. I wanted to ask Amanda about some most discriminated accents in the UK, so about your paper.
So in the UK as a whole, there's been a few different sort of pieces of research looking at how different ways of speaking are evaluated. And there does tend to be a kind of hierarchy in the way that people sort of judge different accents. So if we're talking across the UK as a whole, it tends to be accents like Birmingham, Cockney, Liverpool. They're accents that have typically been considered quite poorly. And RP, so received pronunciation, you know, that some people might think of as like Queen's English, tends to receive the most positive evaluations. And it's not, you know, a coincidence, again, as I said, that things like, you know, Birmingham, Cockney, Liverpool, accents that are typically associated with quite regional, sort of more working class, urban areas, are evaluated negatively. So that's kind of across the UK as a whole. But the research that I've done has been sort of focused on South East England, which actually as a region, surprisingly, actually hasn't got that much sort of research relative to sort of some other areas, maybe sort of outside of London at least. So I kind of wanted to look at the distribution of kind of accent bias across the region. And basically there were speakers from sort of across the region and some other participants also from the same place, well, you know, from the southeast, heard them all read and aloud the same sentence. And they were asked to make these sort of judgments about them. So, you know, how friendly, how trustworthy, how intelligent do you think this person sounds? And, you know, they were asked for kind of their gut reaction. And it's not at all a reflection on them participants because it's something we all do. You know, we're sort of socialised, normalised into these sort of systems of accent bias, that it's something that we do have these gut instincts when we meet someone. You know, even as sociolinguists, it's something that we will feel sort of in ourselves as well. Sometimes we form these gut reactions to the way that someone speaks, but we have that kind of awareness to then challenge that and see that that is, you know, completely wrong to judge someone on their accent. But anyway, so they were asked to judge these speakers on these characteristics, like intelligence, friendliness. And, you know, there's no context in this. They're not talking about anything specific to them. They're not using any vocabulary from their dialect. They're literally reading aloud the same thing. So it purely is their accent. And basically the findings are that, you know, prejudice, the accent prejudice or accent bias really systematically groups with different groups of speakers. So, you know, it's not at all random, but actually, you know, people who consider themselves working class or people who didn't define their ethnicity as white British or people who were from London or Essex tended to be judged much more negatively than other groups. And, you know, imagine particularly as well if you were a person with all of those different characteristics. So this was found particularly for intelligence. So, you know, working class people judged to be, you know, sort of on average like 14% less intelligent than people who consider themselves to be upper middle class. So I think this research just kind of wanted to show how, you know, how this can actually impact people's lives. Like, this isn't something that's just academic or theoretical, but actually people are being judged as less intelligent on their accent, and the implications for that in your day-to-day life are obviously, you know, enormous. And that's kind of something that I wanted to sort of highlight with that research.
Thank you. One other interesting thing is accent characterization in media, which if Ella, if you could talk about it a bit.
Yeah, of course. So I'm interested in this question partly because my own research is looking at how children might develop accent stereotypes. So how do these ideas of someone being from a certain place and having a certain accent lead to characterizations in certain ways? And I think the media has somewhat of a role here, especially if we think about children's media, for example. So a study by Lippy Green looked at the characters in Disney to see sort of what stereotypes they were playing on to represent the kind of characters that they were. So she found that basically the sort of more generally the sort of evil characters or the bad characters were more likely to have a non-native English accent, or basically a not standard American accent in some way. And so there was therefore this kind of association between evilness or not goodness and having an accent of some sort. And that's likely to sort of feed into, you know, children's perceptions, and that builds up, and that, you know, that happens in terms of adult content as well, in terms of the media more generally. So the media is sort of constantly playing on these stereotypes and working with these stereotypes to provide a message. That message doesn't always necessarily have to be negative. So there are ways in which kind of more positive associations with different accents might be played upon. So I was talking in a class I was teaching recently about the Yorkshire Plusnet broadband adverts, partly because I'm from Yorkshire myself and now my Yorkshire accent's coming out because I'm talking about being from Yorkshire, and the fact that they talk about the reliable sort of nature of the broadband, and you've got this friendly Yorkshire guy kind of with his flat cap or whatever, like, you know, in the advert. So there's all these ideas around trustworthiness, friendliness being played upon there to essentially kind of sell a product. And that comes through in all sorts of different ways as well, not necessarily just in the media, but I think people have looked into the fact that call centres tend to be in places like, or the people with sort of Geordie or Newcastle accents are employed because they seem to have this really friendly, I won't try and put on a Geordie accent, but a really friendly accent that people are more willing to, I don't know, either trust or kind of not feel too put out by when it comes to kind of calling you and selling you something and things like that. So my interest there is how all of these kind of messages we're getting from the media, from elsewhere, from wherever, are impacting children from a young age, and that's where potentially a lot of these stereotypes start and develop from.
Is it okay to have a favourite accent? And if you think it is, do you have a favourite one?
So I guess we're really not telling people, you know, you can never talk about accents, you can never say you've got a favourite accent, you can never talk favourably or disfavourably about accents. You know, we're not looking to sort of police that. I guess what we are kind of saying is, like, for people to sort of be just a little bit aware of the way that accent bias does kind of operate, and to just maybe sort of bear in mind sometimes, you know, when you get this sort of gut reaction to someone's accent, whether you think of them favourably, disfavourably, or whether it just sort of sparks something inside you, you just think to yourself, why am I feeling that about their accent? And just sort of challenging it within yourself and think, no, you know what, I'm going to try and put that aside and take this person, you know, at face value without letting this sort of colouring around their accent, you know, impact the way I feel about them. So, you know, we're saying sort of be mindful of accent bias, but of course, you know, we're not saying you're not allowed to have a favourite accent. A lot of people will, and there'll be accents that, you know, might be more familiar to them, or maybe that they enjoy, or that, you know, they know someone that has that accent, so they have sort of favourable connotations with it. In terms of my own favourite accent as a linguist, I find that very hard to choose, as I basically love all accents. I don't feel like I could possibly try and narrow it down.
Fair enough. Yeah, I agree with what Amanda said, definitely, about, you know, it's fine to, you know, have a favourite accent, you know, enjoy hearing particular accents for whatever reason, but just to reflect on, as she said, those initial reactions you might have. And I think sort of thinking about my own preferences, they do stem from, again, what Amanda's just said around familiarity and things like that. So I do really like a Welsh accent, but I think that's partly because I spent many years in my childhood going to Wales with my family. So I kind of grew up hearing that accent and associating it with going on holiday and having a nice time and meeting friendly people. So it's all those kind of things that might feed into why we appreciate or like an accent, as well as things like, I don't know, enjoying the, like in Welsh, you get this kind of intonation, this fairly unique intonation that you might not get in other accents. So you might enjoy hearing those sounds or anything like that. But yeah, I think since living down in Essex, so I'm from Yorkshire and I live in Essex. So for me, if I hear a Yorkshire accent while I'm down here, or hear any kind of any sort of northern accent really while I'm down in the south, that sparks a little bit of I don't know, joy inside me. Again, that's because of my background, my experience. It makes me think of home, where I grew up, hearing those northern accents around me. So for all sorts of reasons, we can't help having those reactions, and that's absolutely fine. It's just thinking about when it comes to those discriminatory behaviours or kind of judging or stereotyping someone as being unintelligent or potentially some of these negative things, to step back from that and think, you know, is this a fair judgment? Am I making a judgment based just on how this person sounds? Yeah, so that's it, really.
Right, thank you very much for that. Thank you both very much for coming in and talking with me about accents today.
Pleasure, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And now we are going to play recordings of a couple of students speaking about their favorite accents.
So in terms of Spanish accents, I really like the Argentinian accent. And then when people speak English, I really like the Italian accent.
I don't think I find any accent sexy.
So my favorite Latin American accent is Argentinian accent. And my favorite accent for, well, speaking English is probably German accent.
Hi, my name's Jess. I'm from Leicester. The accent I find sexiest is probably French, or a Welsh accent. Is that it?
You can explain why.
I don't really know why, but the accent that I despise is Birmingham or Liverpool.
Why?
Mm-hmm. It just goes straight through me.
I think there are a couple of accents that I find quite attractive. First of all, I think it's quite obvious one. It's a French one. But to be very specific, I don't really like when it's very thick. It's when it's a bit softer. It sounds really, really sexy. The other accent that I really, really like, and I think when I was younger, I really liked it. It's British accent, but the one like London, like Queen's English accent. Yeah, so that accent is really, really lovely to your ear. But then we had a conversation with you about this, saying that even though we find it like interesting and like lovely to hear, I think it's like the whole idea of like British men, or like, you know,
an English gentleman.
Yeah, like the way they are portrayed in media, I think it contributes a lot to us finding that accent sexy.
I haven't said my name or anything. I find Russian, German, Bulgarian, really strong, harsh languages attractive. But like romance languages, romance accents like French, Spanish, Portuguese, no offense. Italian, Greek, those accents don't really, you know, they're not as attractive. And also broken English, I guess, because in my country we speak that, it's quite attractive when someone can speak it well, along with obviously my language. But yeah, that's it.
Well, to be fair, like from what I've seen, like from the people I've seen, I definitely like French accent. They kind of, it might be that person, it might just be that person, but his accent feels really good. But I kind of don't like the Chinese accent, not to be anything, but just because they pronounce words like really just word by word instead of like a fluent sentence. But I think it's just because of like how people speak Chinese in general that is causing this.
I think, okay, don't get me wrong on this one, don't judge me on this one, but I do find the Southern English accent sexy, especially London. I'm sorry, that's just how it is.
I think I agree with that, actually. Yeah. I would add Spanish as well, or just in general, like Latin America. and maybe Greek, if I can add the accent that I don't think is sexy. I know it's not really the topic, but I can still say it. It's French for me. Mm-hmm. No, nothing against French people, guys. It just doesn't do it for me.
I think for me, the ones that I don't think sexy would be Italian and Brazilian. I think that's kind of funny, but I just don't. I think they're ugly. I'm sorry. I'm speaking from the heart, though.
I would say the accents that I find like sexy can be Italian, maybe French, but it depends on the French.
The sexiest.
Yes. Right. Like, not very hard French, but just like soft French. I don't know why, it just like sounds nice. No. I could say I don't really like the Spanish accent, maybe because it makes things hard to understand.
So I would say, I think I would like to start by saying, so I'm French and I do not find the French accent attractive at all, because maybe I'm used to it. I know for sure that for my flatmates who are not French, they find it attractive. So I'm pretty sure it's like based on my own perception of it. But I would say the accent that I found the most attractive would be the Italian one. Because I don't know why, to be honest. Maybe it's about the culture or like the image behind it. You know, the good-looking Italian girl. So yeah, I think Italian one would be my favorite one. If we speak about American accent, I would say that if we look at the Southern accent from the East, it would be a bit too much for me. But if we understand that Southwest... like in the Midwest, I believe this accent is pretty charming because it has its own culture behind it, as in kind of country one. So I think I like that. And let's find the last one. I would say Eastern Europe is pretty mysterious to me. I don't know if it's attracting me, but it definitely has some mystery behind it. Maybe it's from like the movies I've seen when I was little, like about spies and everything. But yeah, okay, I think that's it.
And with that, we have come to the end of the first episode. Thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed. Stay tuned for more episodes about all things linguistic.